It had been 48 years, 1 month, and 18 days since Glenn Simmons had been convicted and sentenced to prison for murder. But that's when Glenn heard these words from the district judge. "This court finds by clear and convincing evidence that the offense for which Mr. Simmons was convicted, sentenced, and imprisoned was not committed by Mr. Simmons." Can you imagine the overwhelming emotion Glenn must have felt when he heard these words? And the reason his conviction had now been overturned after those many years is because it had been discovered that the prosecutors who had originally charged him for murder had failed to hand over evidence that proved his innocence. And in an interview following his exoneration, Glenn stated that he felt vindicated after spending so many years in prison. That term, to be vindicated, is the focus for our sermon today. It's a phrase that means to be proven right or to be cleared of all guilt. And as we consider everything that had been taking place on Holy Week, if anybody needed to be vindicated, it was Jesus. Because after the events of Good Friday, it sure looked like Jesus was a fraud. He had been put on trial by the religious leaders who found him guilty of blasphemy and worthy of death. And Pontius Pilate had passed down that harsh sentence, the sentence of crucifixion, down on Jesus, a sentence that was reserved for the worst of criminals. And as Jesus hung there between those two criminals, it sure seemed like his claim to be the Messiah was false. I mean, sure, Jesus had showed his extensive knowledge in God's word and his authority by teaching the religious leaders in large crowds throughout his ministry. And sure, Jesus had performed any number of miracles time and time again, which seemed to validate his claim. But as Jesus hung there, bleeding, dying, he didn't look like the Son of God. He looked weak and powerless. And many were probably thinking that if Jesus was as good as he truly claimed to be, then shouldn't God have done something in this situation? And some were probably thinking that if Jesus was God as he claimed to be, then shouldn't he just simply take himself off of the cross? But nothing happened. And the women who were his followers, who had walked with Jesus during his path of suffering, eventually saw Jesus breathe his last on the cross, just like any other criminal who was sentenced to crucifixion. And they then saw Jesus taken by Joseph of Arimathea, who had taken his lifeless body and buried it in his very own tomb. It must have been impossible to process everything that had happened. I mean, so much had happened in such a short amount of time. And in the final moments of those hours on Good Friday, while we don't know exactly what was going through the women's mind, we can assume that it was a mixture of sadness, confusion, doubt, and certainly fear. And maybe you can understand what they were going through. When someone you loved died, when the funeral was over, family, friends had returned to their homes. And those moments at the end of the day, it can be so easy to feel alone, sad, and confused, wondering why God decided to take them now. It's not just the death of a loved one that can leave us feeling that way. The thoughts of our own deaths are also constantly present in our own lives, whether we're conscious of it or not. There's always this sense in our lives that time is running out. Our bodies are failing. Minds are fading. And these brief lives that we live are filled with so many sinful choices and decisions. Daily, we fail to honor our God. And while we know that Jesus wasn't guilty as he hung on the cross, there's no denying that we certainly are. Now, that Sunday morning, following the events that had taken place on Good Friday, while we still don't know what was going on in the thoughts of the women who had witnessed Jesus' death, Mark does report for us what they were doing. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they could go and anoint Jesus. And at sunrise, they went to the tomb. See, after Jesus' death, there had only been time to wrap Jesus' body in the proper burial cloths. And so these women wanted to go to Jesus' tomb so they could finish the burial custom of anointing his body with the proper burial spices. And this really was going to be their final act of love shown to their teacher. And maybe it was their determination to go and carry out this task. Or maybe it was their grief over everything that had happened those past few days and the past week. But we hear that they didn't really think through this plan to go and anoint Jesus' body with the proper spices, because as they neared the tomb, they said to one another, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb for us?" And the stone they were referring to was a massive stone that would completely block the entrance into Jesus' tomb. A stone they couldn't move by themselves, a stone that would have kept them from being able to enter Jesus' tomb and accomplish the task for which they were going to Jesus' tomb to carry out. But these women were determined, and so they pressed on to the tomb anyways. And when they got there, they saw a very shocking scene. They looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. And again, while we don't know what was going through their minds at this time, we can assume that there were some pretty devastating thoughts going through their minds, thinking most likely that somebody had violated Jesus' tomb, because after all, Jesus had gained a large number of enemies that last week. But when they went to actually investigate the tomb, they found out what was actually taking place. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. He said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." This man sitting in the tomb dressed in white clothes was an angel sent from God. An angel sent to proclaim the greatest news and the greatest message ever reported, telling these women that the one you saw dead on the cross just a few days ago and buried in this very tomb is now alive. And really, this amazing news shouldn't have come as a surprise to the women. Jesus, on multiple accounts throughout his ministry, had reported to his followers that this is exactly what was going to happen, that he was going to suffer and die, but on the third day would rise again from the grave. But just as it was difficult for them to process this news back in the past, it was also difficult for them to process this news now here in the present, which is why we hear that the women went out and hurried away from the tomb, trembling and perplexed. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. But in the coming hours, the news would eventually sink in. And Jesus would actually go on to appear to these women in the flesh so as to comfort them and to proclaim that what the angel had reported to them was true. In fact, Jesus would actually go on to appear to many people in the flesh. He would go on to appear to Peter in the flesh. He would go on to appear to some disciples on the road to Emmaus in the flesh. And he would even go on to appear to the 11 disciples behind locked doors in the flesh too. And all of these accounts of Jesus appearing to them in the flesh would go on to testify that the amazing news was indeed true. Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. He has won victory over death, a victory that vindicated Jesus after the events of Good Friday. And Paul, in his letter to the 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, goes on to explain why Jesus' resurrection truly has the greatest meaning, not only for the disciples and the women back then, but also for you and me today. Where Paul said, "For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead." If Jesus remained in the grave, then we would have no reason to believe that he was anything more than a fraud. If he remained in the grave, we would have no reason to believe that his words of forgiveness rang true. And if he remained in the grave, we would have no reason to believe that he has won for us life after death. But with Jesus rising from the grave on Easter Sunday, we see that Easter is vindication. Vindication that Jesus truly is the Messiah he promised to be. And it's really with this that we see the reason as to why Jesus didn't take himself off of the cross on Good Friday. This would have been something very easy and simple for Jesus to do, but Jesus knew that if he took himself off of the cross, then his work of redemption would have remained incomplete. Jesus knew that he needed to suffer to the point of death. And in doing so, he went on to do something far greater than simply taking himself off of the cross on Good Friday. He went on to rise from the grave, vindicating himself, proving that he is the Messiah he claimed to be. But you see, Easter isn't only vindication for Jesus. Easter is also vindication for you and for me. Because as Jesus hung on the cross, he looked guilty. It wasn't only the sign that was nailed to the top of his cross, or the people shouting all kinds of insults at him as if he was an awful, horrible criminal. It was also his cry from the depth of punishment when Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And with these words, we see that Jesus truly did have guilt on the cross, but not his own, ours. It was on the cross that God laid on him the iniquity of us all. It was on the cross that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. And God punished all of our sins on Christ. But in raising Jesus from the dead, God was really putting the exclamation point on these words that Jesus proclaimed from the cross. "It is finished. We are vindicated. Your sins and my sins have been fully paid for. His resurrection means that we have been cleared from the guilt of all of our sins." And as we now hear the rest of the angel's message to the women, we hear a hint of that forgiveness, where the angel now told the women, "Go and tell Jesus' disciples and Peter the news of his resurrection, and that Jesus would go ahead of them into Galilee, where they would see him just as he had told them." Go and tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples who had abandoned Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was being arrested by his enemies. Go and tell Peter, who had denied Jesus multiple times as he was being put on trial and sentenced to death. You would think God would want nothing to do with the disciples and Peter. You would think God would want to hide this amazing news from them because they were nowhere to be seen when Jesus was being crucified, and they were now nowhere to be seen when Jesus was raised from the grave the very day that he told them this was going to take place. But you see, our God isn't a vindictive God. He is a God who desires all those who are burdened by the guilt and shame of their sins to hear this amazing news. He desired the disciples and Peter to hear the news of his resurrection, so that they could know that the guilt and the shame of their sins had been fully and freely paid for through His work. And seeing what God did for His disciples and Peter, you too can know that God loves you and that God has forgiven you. Even for the times that you've doubted God, just like the disciples and Peter. Even for all the sinful choices and decisions you've made in your life. Christ's resurrection means that all of your sins have been fully and freely forgiven, and God made sure that He would work through all of history to make sure you would hear this amazing news so that you would know that Christ is your Savior from sin. And having heard this amazing news, you have the privilege and the opportunity to go and to proclaim it to others. You have the privilege and the opportunity to go and report this amazing news to those who feel helpless and hopeless in this world. You have the privilege and the opportunity to go and to proclaim this news to those who are burdened by the guilt and the shame of their sins. You have the privilege and the opportunity to go and to proclaim that Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. Sin is forgiven. Death is defeated, and Jesus is Lord. His resurrection is vindication. Vindication that He truly is the Messiah He promised to be. And vindication for you, me, and all people. For the guilt of our sins has been fully and freely paid for. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.